Welcome into another edition of Locked On Bills. I'm your host, as always, Kevin Misery, here on a special post-game edition. Lots to go over today. I have a special guest today visiting us from New York Upstate, Bills beat reporter Matt Perino. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm great, Kevin. How are you?
Doing really well. Football's back, right?
Right. Like, training camp's been really cool, but there's only so much practice you can watch before you start getting that itch for a game. We got some game action last night, so getting rolling here.
Yeah, definitely. We saw immediately a much different offense, Matt, an offense that to me looked a lot better than any that I've covered, one that looked, you know, pretty aggressive, lots of throws. What can you tell me off the bat and what you noticed compared to training camp? And was it different than what you've witnessed every day? And, you know, kind of get into that a little bit.
I think that it's been more the same. I mean, obviously it's been heavily publicized that, you know, Brian Daboll is going to bring – you know, some energy and some speed to this offense. I mean, everywhere he's been, he's had success, especially, like, you know, you look at two quarterbacks like Nate Peterman and A.J. McCarron, the two kind of, you know, guys that seem to be leading the charge for this starting job with Josh Allen kind of developing. Those are two guys with, you know, not super powerful arms, guys that are going to really rely on their running backs in the passing game. And you saw that last night. And even on the long ball, Nate Peterman threw a touchdown pass to Kelvin Benjamin. And I talked to Kelvin after the game, and he said, you know, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to play fast. It's on Nate or who's going to be lining up behind center to get the ball out of their hands quickly. And you saw that in that first possession, specifically with Peterman. He was wasting no time. And it's funny, during camp, one of the big kind of knocks I've had on Peterman is every day almost until this past Monday, is the last like full practice before the game, I've noticed that there's at least one or two plays a game, a session, where he underthrows, you know, in that intermediate passing game, right? Like, so 20 to 25 yards in that range, sometimes like he'll either be late on a read, or he'll just not have the arm strength to get it out there. Well, yesterday there was none of those plays. After, you know, a first play, which was kind of weird, it was ruled a defensive holding, kind of a weird ball. But after that 9 for 9, he looked like absolutely in sync, making plays, no concerns with the arm strength or where he's putting his throws. I thought it was a preseason game, and we'll get to that, obviously, like you said, but masterful preseason performance from Peterman.
Now, taking away from that a little bit, I mean, do you think that – is he just a better player when the lights come on? I mean, we saw him struggle in Los Angeles last year in what I guess even he himself calls a fluke. What do you think, he's more of a gamer? Do you think he just can put it all together when, you know, the pressure's on? Or do you just think it was, you know, kind of a lucky performance last night? What's kind of your opinion on that?
I don't think it was a lucky performance. I think there's a significant skill set there. I mean, listen, anybody can have their opinion about Sean McDermott or Brandon Bean, whatever you think about them. There's a lot of people that have a lot of respect for those two guys, like what they're doing. Sorry to be cliche, but trust the process. But these two guys, you know, have proven that, you know, they're onto something here, I think. I think that, you know, they see something in Peterman, and they're watching him every day in practice. They're around him. They're around him, watching him with his teammates. They're analyzing him, you know, play football. And, you know, they spent a season with him last year, and I'm sorry, but in the NFL, in today's day and age, you're not going to cling on to a guy just because you think he's a good character guy or like a somebody that, you know, especially a quarterback, where you go out and you draft a guy like Josh Allen, you go out and sign A.J. McCarron. If there's any doubt in the minds of McDermott or Bean that this guy can't be an NFL quarterback, I don't think he'd still be here. So I think that, you know, if you're a fan looking at this situation, you got to be happy that you have an option like Nate Peterman, who, you know, if Allen's not ready and McCarron doesn't wow during preseason, there's Nathan Peterman, a guy that this coaching staff seems to really believe in.
I mean, to not get into too much more quarterback, we'll kind of end with this note on this. Where do you see the quarterback position, you know, kind of finishing in your opinion based so far? I mean, I know it's only August 10th, but where do you see it going? I mean, when does Josh Allen step in? Does he play at all? I mean, do you see McCarron taking it over preseason game 2, as I'm assuming he'll get the start and get to play with the ones? Kind of, how do you see this thing ending? And is this a good thing that all three of them have played so well, or is it kind of still murk up the water?
I think it's a good thing. I think that you want all the guys, you know, that are going to be in your quarterback situation to be playing well with a lot of confidence. That's something McDermott said yesterday in his press conferences. This is the type of game that, you know, you like as a coach, because all three of these guys that you're going to be relying on all build confidence from a day like that. You know, they all led touchdown drives. Josh Allen and Peterman made the touchdown throws. McCarron handed it off to Murphy. But I thought I think Josh Allen plays at some point this season. I think that, you know, you don't take a guy seventh overall, the highest draft pick in the history of your organization, if you're not, you know, ready to, you know, start that process. And the thing with it is, you could keep him out all season, you know what I mean? But I just feel like that you're missing out on an opportunity, especially if the Bills, with this tough early schedule, get out to a lackluster start. Get Josh Allen in there, start to build some rapport with Kelvin Benjamin, see what it looks like with him and Kelvin Benjamin in a contract year. Do you want to put your resources behind a guy like Kelvin Benjamin, who, you know, all of a sudden some distraction type situations are popping up with him, with the comments that he made about his former team that neither Bean or McDermott were too pleased about. It's funny, he went out yesterday and made a big, you know, obviously the interaction between him and Cam made some headlines, but he went out there and performed 4 grabs for 50 plus yards and a touchdown, made a point to post on Instagram today, a little like the video of his scoring touchdown and giving some love to Nate Peterman, talking about being on target, and almost like seemed like a veiled shot at Cam Newton. But you have to see if that's the guy that you want to build around as your number one receiver. And if he fits right with Josh Allen, does Corey Coleman and Zay Jones, how do they play with Josh Allen? Do you want to – where does that Zay Jones experiment even go from here? I mean, it's only a second year, but if it's another year like last where the production isn't necessarily where you need it to be for a second-round wide receiver, where do you go with that? Corey Coleman, so many question marks. But I think the most important thing is, no matter who starts the season, I will maintain that I think that Josh Allen needs to see the field for at least a considerable chunk in 2018.
Yeah, I mean, anyone that listens to our podcast knows that I'm on that board. I think he should play day one. But obviously, this murks the water for me a little bit. I did like what I saw from Peterman and McCarron. Do you think you could have a Keenum situation where they just maybe keep winning, if that ever happens, and that you have to roll with the McCarron or Peterman, whoever's in the game, and just Allen has to sit? I mean, with this type of defense and as well as the offense look, is that possible that could happen?
I think it definitely is possible. And you know, like, if you go with one of these guys and you hit right, and they're out there and producing, and you're winning football games, that I almost think is a different situation. You're right. Like, then you kind of let that play out, a la Case Keenum like last season. But look what, you know, Minnesota did. I mean, when they were able to upgrade to the higher skilled quarterback, they went out and they did that. And I think that, you know, Josh Allen, you've already basically said, by taking him as the third quarterback in this draft, moving up like they did, getting rid of the assets for him, you're basically saying that Josh Allen is your guy. So it's just about when you want to put him in there. And I think, yeah, if you're winning, you wait maybe, but man, it's going to be tough, man. That's why, like, even last, I know it's against third team competition and he's playing with the third team, but man, that throw, a couple of them, obviously the bombs were pretty cool to look at, even though one was overthrown. But, you know, that touchdown pass to McLeod, the way he put it through that small window, and he's been doing that all through camp. And you see all of those throws that he can make, and it's hard to not get excited about what could be.
Now, let's get into the game a little bit. I want to talk to you and kind of see what you thought about. Let's start with the offense real briefly. You know, as a whole, what did you like from the offense? What could you take away? I mean, what kind of things can we actually, you know, from preseason game one, can our listeners really, like, focus on? Was it the receiving core that looked better than they thought? The offensive line, 1 and 2 units looked great. Third unit came in and struggled. Anything you saw running back related, you know, Marcus Murphy, like, what are your takeaways from the game, and how much can we actually run with that?
I think number one, the offensive line was strong. I think that, you know, that's one of the biggest question marks on this team, right outside of a wide receiver. And you had a group, Ryan Groy got the start at center. And then on the two other sides, Vlad Dukas, Deion Dawkins on the left, John Miller and Jordan Mills on the right. All of those four guys have been implanted on the first team all through training camp. Groy and Russell Bodine have been trading back and forth, but, you know, they were strong yesterday in everything. They had, you know, McCarron, after that first sack, had time to throw, really allowing him to step up in the pocket on two occasions that I remember, specifically to that, you know, that 59-yard play to Brandon Riley. And I think that that was a big question mark. And you lose a guy like Richie Incognito and Eric Wood, and then you wonder, listening to Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott talk about the unit and this training camp, and I never really get the sense that they are overly concerned about those losses. And, you know, two former Pro Bowlers, I mean, Incognito went to the Pro Bowl last year. So I think they're pretty confident that Dukas can shift over to the left. You plug in a guy like John Miller, who was good a couple years ago and kind of slipped last year, but he looks like he's motivated. I talked to him after the game yesterday, and he said it's just about getting better every day, looking at the film, improving, saying all the right things. But the offensive line really stood out to me in terms of how they protected the quarterback. Also, Marcus Murphy, you bring up a great point. I talked about this today. I did a live Facebook chat on the Bills, Upstate New York Bills Facebook page, and I thought Marcus Murphy is such an interesting potential player for the Bills because he's behind a few guys in the depth chart. I mean, you think about LeSean McCoy and Ivory are both locks to make the team. You got a guy like Travaris Cadet, who is a veteran, who can run back kicks, who gives you a lot of versatility out of the backfield. But I almost think that Marcus Murphy might actually be a younger version of Cadet. I mean, this guy is – he does everything. He plays special teams. He runs the ball with – you know, he can get downhill. He's got some athleticism. And he also – it showed last night, I mean, like he did last preseason, he's a real factor in the passing game. And like we talked about earlier, Brian Daboll loves to use his running backs. And you think about last season, I think Murphy got the – he was going to end up playing when McCoy went out. But McCoy played in that playoff game. It would have been interesting to see what would happen if he got that full, those full reps. But I think that, you know, the LeSean McCoy situation being what it is, there hasn't been a lot of updates since the start of camp in terms of the alleged incident that, you know, his ex-girlfriend was alleging that he had some involvement in. Nothing's happened. No charges have been pressed. And it looks like the team is confident that he'll be there for the long haul. But what if he's not? Chris Ivory's been injured before, and then you're down to, you know, do you put Marcus Murphy back on the practice squad? I'm not sure, but it's a guy that he looks great. He looks like an NFL caliber running back, and he looks like he can add a lot of dimensions to this Bills offense under Brian Daboll.
Yeah, Murphy was definitely a guy that just looked like a third running back. There was times last year the Bills struggled to find that guy. And to me, I think he's a needed part of this offense that you can finally say you have a third running back that might be able to do a couple of things really well. So it was really good to see him. And it was a guy we were highlighting here at Locked On Bills. Give me some arrows up on offense and a few arrows down, you know, kind of put it all together for us. Like who are your three arrows up and three arrows down on offense?
My arrows up, obviously, Peterman, even coming off of that good practice, I think that, you know, a consistent game like this is just like, I mean, I think it shocked a lot of people. Not that he had success, but that he had that kind of sustained success over the course of two drives like that. Obviously the interception at the end, but I'd still give him a very strong arrow up. Brandon Riley, is a guy that, you know, hasn't popped off, you know, the field to me during training camp. I know he's been kind of like a darling for fans and some media members, but just watching him every day, I've just been like, you know, solid. You know what I mean? Nothing jumped out at me. But last night, I mean, obviously that he made that big play, but you can tell that he's like he's a really strong route runner. He's a guy that like gives his quarterbacks an opportunity to make a play. That catch that he made on the McCarron ball, I mean, he sustained that route all the way across the field, giving McCarron time to, you know, go through his reads and step up in the pocket and make a play. I think I'd give Riley a solid arrow up because, you know, with Coleman and Zay Jones, I mean, they both could play next week. You got to take advantage of, you know, your opportunities, and that was one of them. And he made a big play, and that's huge for a guy that's going to be fighting at the bottom of that depth chart there to make the team with, you know, with the addition of Corey Coleman, there's not a ton of spots there with veterans like Andre Holmes and Rod Streeter competing as well. I think I'd give who would I give my other I'd have to give my other arrow up to Marcus Murphy. I was really enamored with him and everything that he was able to do. Arrow down, I think you got to give an arrow down to, unfortunately for him, rookie Robert Foster is a guy that has really struggled in camp with his mechanics when it comes to catching the football. And I think that you just see that, you know, going into the season, in the off season, talking about Robert Foster, one of the big things was he brings all this speed to the table, but you could kind of see with the way he lets all of these balls come into his chest protector, into his pads. You notice that maybe there was a reason why he wasn't successful at Alabama as, you know, he was projected to be in high school. Arrow down.
Whew. Anyone else on offense, or do you think that did they play that well where you didn't really notice?
Yeah, I think that was pretty solid. In terms of arrow down, I got to go with Vonta Davis. Unfortunately, he made a really, really tough play. Let Jarius Wright get into position on the left sideline to make a catch. I don't really know what he's almost like turned himself around and got himself out of position. So Wright made the catch, and then, you know, tried to recover, make the tackle, and Wright just spun him right off of him. And he was able to set up a 2-yard touchdown for Christian McCaffrey after that 30-yard connection with I believe it was Cam Newton. It's all going together now, but it's a 30-yard pass completion led to a touchdown, and you got to put that on the shoulders of Vonta Davis, who is a guy that I don't think that the coaching staff is 100% sold on him being the same Vonta Davis that went to the Pro Bowl. I mean, this is a guy coming off an injury that I think that they're still, you know, testing him out, and who knows? It could be a few, you know, weeks and reps and practices before he, you know, gets himself back into playing shape. But I'll probably give him an arrow down for that play. And then I think I'll end it there. I don't know. Nothing else.
Cool. No, I appreciate that. Just real briefly on defense. I mean, you can't take away a lot. I mean, the first team defense looked good. Second team defense looked all right. Third team defense looked terrible. I was a little bit disappointed in defensive backs as a whole. I mean, anything you saw, you know, from the sideline on that, like, did you see, like, the defensive backs? I mean, they just seemed out of position, all of them, like, besides maybe Trey White. I just didn't like what I saw from Johnson. I mean, I didn't see gains quite enough. I mean, Levi Wallace looked terrible. Lafayette Pitts was out of position.
Yeah, that was who I was going to say, is Lafayette Pitts. I noticed on two or three occasions being a bit out of position. On the second team, Deion Lacy, linebacker, who has gotten a lot of pub this offseason, is a guy that could step in, especially coming into training camp with a lot of question marks around Lorenzo Alexander, who, you know, is getting up there in age, and you don't know when that production is going to fall off. Even like 2 years ago to last year, you saw some fall off from Alexander. So Lacey's a guy that, you know, you would think would be placed in. He replaced Alexander during the first team when the first team was on the field, and there was a play that I think it was McCaffrey coming across.
Yeah, it was. Yep.
And lost him, and it was like 20-yard play. So, some coverage issues for all three teams. But one guy that really stood out was Pitts, who I thought was just letting guys make plays and not stepping up and trying to even bodying them at the line of scrimmage. I just those guys, I mean, they're already up against it with, I'm not sure – how much Pitts is contributing on special teams. But when you're not making those kind of plays against the third team, you're going to have some problems.
Yeah, and I kind of cap it off with the – I mean, I could see the team definitely making a DB move. Is that far-fetched to think that they might say, hey, maybe we need another corner? Or might they want to wait another couple weeks to see? Or would they want to get him in? I mean, I think the team could really use a third or fourth corner.
Yeah, 100%. I think nothing would surprise me about – what this group does to their roster. But I think that they really seem to like Philip Gaines, who has been kind of like a darling of training camp so far. They like he's been out there in a lot of like nickel situations. And, you know, when the second team goes out there, he's like the number one corner, and he's played a little bit of that. So I think that they like what they have in those three guys. But, yeah, if you continue to see these, you know, the rest of the group struggle in these preseason games, especially against a team like Carolina, who doesn't have a real potent offensive attack. I mean, there's a couple balls even in preseason where I'm just like, Cam Newton is just like, I don't know, man. I don't know what's – I don't remember him being so inaccurate as right. a younger quarterback, but as the years have progressed, he still has the power in his throws, but some of the throws that he makes are just real, like, head-scratchers.
Yeah, Tyler Heinicke went in there and had a perfect QBR. Like, it's preseason and it's third-teamers, but it's still third, you know, second and third-teamer versus third-teamers. I mean, C.J. Anderson was in the game late, and D.J. Moore, their darling rookie. I don't think that the second and third defense came to play at all. I was, like, really disappointed with Stanford. I was really looking forward to seeing as a backup linebacker. Just was nowhere to be found. Had that bad contact targeting penalty, as well as lost man in coverage. I mean, are you worried at all about the depth of the defensive depth? Was actually something I was, like, looking forward to. The D-line looked fine to me, but there was also no push. Are you concerned at all with that, or is it kind of just, hey, the second half was what it was?
I mean, I think they went out there and, you know, they made some key additions at all three levels, right? So you bring in Star Latulele, you bring in Tremaine Edmonds, and you bring in Avonta Davis, who you hope is going to be the Avonta Davis that, you know, he's been over the, you know, course of his career. So, you know, but they, you know, they lost a couple guys too. And you talk about Trent Murphy also as well. There's a lot of guys that it's up in the air, right? Like Shaq Lawson, like what are you going to get? What kind of production are you going to get from him? Matt Milano, I think he was out of position on a play yesterday as well. Is he going to be that consistent? You know, he had a really good season last year. Is he going to transfer that over? There is some depth concerns, no doubt about it. But I think that you have to trust in your your coaching staff and your ability to develop some of these players. Obviously, these guys, you know, there's some battles still to be fought. I mean, you look at, you know, Dean Marlowe, Rafael Bush in the backfield. They're probably going to be, you know, battling with a, you know, rookie Ciaran Neal. It's pretty, take a long look at those three guys over the course of the next three games and figure out who can play and who can't. And plus, you don't want to overreact too much to one game. The first game out there, I'd like to see, you know, that entire collection, that sample size of four preseason games before, because I would imagine you'd be able to go out on the free agent market and bring in, you know, a veteran cornerback that you can plug in as you know, a depth guy at any point. So this is that opportunity for the coaching staff to evaluate these young guys and give them a chance. But yeah, it will get more concerning as these weeks go along.
Yeah, just in a time in camp when the defense is supposed to be above the offense, that was just not the case yesterday in this preseason game. So interesting note there, 1,200 players will become available all at the same time on September 1st when cuts happen. There's only one cut down day now. So you're right, there will be a lot of veterans, a lot of undrafted free agents, a lot of maybe even draft picks like the Bills found in Connor McDermott last year. So we'll see what happens if they need to plug and play there. Did like what I saw from Mike Love and Ryan Russell, a couple of great defensive end prospects, more so in Love. Russell's actually been around the league and started a few games, but do think that there's some good defensive end depth. So that's a great progress from last year. And this team could very certainly be better than their 9-7 team that was last year. Will the record show it? I'm not sure. We'll end it with this, Matt. Do you have any final notes or nuggets you saw from yesterday you'd like to share, or anything you're looking forward to, or kind of give us a little plug of your work and what you're working on and what you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I mean, still getting settled in from, you know, the transition from covering MMA 365 to the NFL. It's been fun. I think that, you know, we're working on it. We've got a couple things that, you know, I'm in the beginning stages of planning and hoping to be able to launch. Unfortunately, this opportunity came along to join New York Upstate right on the, you know, the eve of training camp. So I've kind of been thrown right into the
right.
coverage of the beat, which is great. I'm loving it, but there's a lot of things that I would like to execute and a lot of ideals I want to try that, you know, might take a little bit longer just because we're kind of in the thick of, you know, getting ready for the season to start. But yeah, keep an eye out for that. NewYorkUpstate.com. Give a follow on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We'll be having all types of you know, written and video content on all those platforms. And you know, one thing I'm, you know, really looking forward to seeing that I don't think has been talked about enough this season is where does LeSean McCoy you know, land when this season begins? Like, what it, will there be a regression in terms of the, you know, production from a guy that, you know, just turned 30 years old? I know a lot's been made about his off the field, you know, issues that could be presented to him, you know, forcing him to potentially even miss some time. But if he's there week one in Brian Daboll's system, which is seems to be very advantageous to a player like LeSean McCoy, are we going to see the same Shady? Is he going to be the same behind, you know, kind of a revamped offensive line? And I think there's a lot of question marks around that part of the, you know, offense. And I think that, you know, the team's success this season, no matter who the quarterback is going to be dependent on, you know, McCoy's continued, you know, high level production. And I'm very interested to watch that play out over the course of the season.
And that's a really good point, as, you know, Daboll runs a different scheme, and it's really good to do some of the off the field things, get into his head. Does he play stronger? Really good point, as he's been the staple of the Bills offense now for years. So I think that's a really good note and something to keep, you know, look forward to as the season starts. I mean, can he be who he is, and will he continue to be that through the year? And he has a really high cap figure next year with very limited dead money. So could this be his last year, Matt? I don't know. It's very possible as he's getting up in age and cap with less ramifications and maybe more off the field issues. So we'll have to see what happens with LeSean McCoy. Matt, I really appreciate you coming on, and you can obviously find his work and follow him at Matt Perino. And you can find your work at Bills Updates and at New York Upstate, correct?
That's right. NewYorkUpstate.com, Syracuse.com, the whole Advance family down there. So yeah.
And you guys do great work. I mean, obviously Matt Fairburn was awesome, and you're filling in, and you've already brought great coverage for everyone. Once again, this is Locked On Bills, and that's Matt Perino.